Wow. Daniel Cormier continues to cement his place in MMA history as one of the absolute all-time greats. What's up, folks? Fred Ricciani, TSC, your home for MMA news updates, interviews, and everything in between. If you're new here, please consider subscribing. We are live to recap UFC 230, the eventful, the action-packed main card, somewhat predictable, a little unpredictable in the co-main event. This was a hell of a show, at least on the main card side of things. Now, I got to say, I do think it was extremely irresponsible, still, even with the result, of the UFC and the New York State Athletic Commission to have Daniel Cormier and Derek Lewis fight each other on 3 weeks' notice, all because they couldn't put together a proper main event for Madison Square Garden. Yeah, we saw some bad officiating leading into this fight, and we saw some terrible officiating on this fight card, which we'll get to in a second. But the big news is that Brock Lesnar did not show up in the octagon. It was Daniel Cormier who dominated Derek Lewis, avoided major strikes, took him down pretty much at will, got the rear naked choke submission finish in round number 2. God bless Derek Lewis, marketable guy, fun fighter to watch, but it just was not enough. The puncher's chance, as Daniel Cormier talked about, that's one thing, but when you fight at the next level, you got to have a little more than that. And, well, Daniel Cormier sure showcased that. Still undefeated at heavyweight, which is just insane. He might very well be the greatest heavyweight fighter of all time. And he beat Stipe Miocic, who a lot of people consider the greatest heavyweight of all time. He definitely beat Fedor now. I mean, the guy was a Strikeforce champion, UFC heavyweight champion. The first fighter to defend the light heavyweight title and the UFC heavyweight title. Think about that. That's just incredible. So props to Daniel Cormier. Cut a promo on Brock Lesnar. Joe Rogan mentioned Brock Lesnar. They mentioned Brock Lesnar on commentary. So I guess that means that, well, Brock Lesnar is going to fight Daniel Cormier. And listen, if you're Brock, why wouldn't you? You're going to get paid millions upon millions of dollars. You go in there, fight him, maybe even win. But I don't know. You never know with Brock Lesnar. He's a master negotiator. He is a guy that knows exactly what he's doing. He's not some dumb farm boy. He's not some dumb jock. I mean, this guy has gotten so much money out of Dana White and Vince McMahon over the years. It's not even funny. I mean, it kind of is. But we'll see what happens. Brock Lesnar, for those who don't know, just captured the WWE Universal Championship from Braun Strowman, further burying Braun Strowman into mid-card hell. And DC did say, hey, Brock, bring your belt. I guess they'll have a fight probably in January, maybe February. Assuming DC's healthy and everything, I would actually like to see a fight Super Bowl weekend because it's going to be a ton of press, going to be a huge event. It wouldn't make perfect sense, especially with the new ESPN relationship. We will see what happens, but man, that's going to be an awesome fight. Maybe not so much for Brock or Vince McMahon. I think it's kind of a big risk to have your world champion go inside the octagon with maybe the greatest heavyweight of all time and get his ass kicked. But hey, that's Vince McMahon, and he's on crack these days, so I sure as hell ain't going to try to predict any moves that Vince McMahon's going to make. But we definitely couldn't predict the finish of Chris Weidman versus Jacare Souza. Chris Weidman, former UFC champion, beat Anderson Silva, of course, one of the better middleweights in UFC history. Going up against the guy that I think is probably the greatest UFC fighter to never hold the UFC title. I'm talking about a guy that's had a prolonged run with Zuffa. A guy that's fought in Strikeforce, fought in Pride, has fought in UFC, has been a contender, but has never once received a title shot. I'm talking about Jacare Souza, Ronaldo Jacare Souza, the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu master, the man that's just had a decorated career. But the one thing that's missing is that UFC gold. Well, tonight, he cemented his place as a top contender because he knocked out Chris Weidman in round number 3. This was a great fight. Mostly standing, really, because both guys are phenomenal grapplers. Chris Weidman, of course, former All-American wrestler. So, of course, that kind of canceled out the ground game. I would have liked to have seen Chris Weidman maybe try to take him down. But Jacare, dangerous on the top, dangerous off his back. And we learned tonight, or I guess we were reminded tonight, dangerous on his feet still at age 38 years old. Knocking out Chris Weidman with a vicious shot to the temple. Chris Weidman was winning the fight up until round number 3, but there were some warning signs. You see, he was having a nice striking battle, but he was getting tagged here and there, and he was taking a lot of those body shots. And up to that point, you're thinking, you know what? Like, if he takes enough of those, that's going to be bad news. And if Jacare is going to keep going for the body, that's going to make Chris aware of the shots going to the body. And, you know, he might slip up. And, well, that's kind of what happened. And then what happened at the end was pretty egregious. So Chris Weidman gets knocked out. It's like, you know, Paul Bunyan chopped a tree down. Tree just fell. I'm thinking, okay, this fight's done. Like, he's out. Big Dan Mergliotta, longtime garbage MMA official, just stands there. Jacare looks at him like, what the F, man? I knocked him out. Big Dan, I don't know what he's doing. He's humming or something. Maybe he's singing the new Cardi B song, Money. I don't know. So Weidman is knocked loopy. He's grabbing a hold of the leg, trying to go for a single leg takedown. He's done. And poor Jacare, who did not want to hurt this guy anymore, had to give him a couple hammer fists. Actually, I think it was like three or four. And Big Dan was like, wait a minute. I think Chris Weidman might almost die. Let me stop the fight. So it was technically ruled a TKO when it should have been a KO. Great fight. My heart breaks for Chris Weidman because he's one of the good guys in mixed martial arts. Back when I worked at Spike TV, he was the final guest of our show, MMA Uncensored. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. A few months later, he knocked out some dude named Anderson Silva to win the middleweight title. And fast forward, what, 5-6 years later, this guy's lost 4 out of 5 fights. I think at least 3 of them, maybe even all 4. He's lost by finish, which is terrible to see. And, you know, man, it's one thing to be down on your luck and everything like that. Like Anthony Pettis, it's another thing to be down on your luck and get finished. And to see him get knocked out again, listen, I'm not saying his chin's done, but he's taking a whole lot of damage for a guy at age 34. And we could be looking at the tail end of his career, which is a damn shame. Now, some people say maybe he'll go up to 205, and I guess he could go up to 205. It would be a better weight cut for him. But let's keep it real here. Now, again, I'm not a fight expert. I do talk to a lot of fight experts and fighters. But can you imagine Weidman against John Jones? Can you imagine Weidman against Gustafson? Can you imagine Weidman against Daniel Cormier? I mean, I could, but I don't imagine good things coming for Chris Weidman at 205. So I don't know. I mean, look, you could question it. Some people are questioning his strategy. Why do you keep it on the feet when he's getting tagged? Well, you're fighting one of the greatest Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioners of all time. I mean, if you take him down, you risk getting submitted. Granted, Weidman himself is a great grappler, but still, I mean, Jacare, as we saw tonight. So, I don't know, just a really heartbreaking loss. He loses in New York again. It's like ever since MMA got legalized in New York, it's been like a curse for Weidman. It's a damn shame. A guy who fought so hard for so many fighters to get New York MMA legalized is now, well, on the wrong side of it in a number of ways. I mean, yeah, a number of ways. What do you want me to say? I mean, I think there was controversy in the Yoel Romero fight at MSG as well, if I recall correctly. Just a damn shame, but that's the fight game, folks. It is what it is. We had Jared Cannonier defeat David Branch via TKO in round number 2. David Branch is a tough guy, been known at times to be kind of a boring fighter to some people, but, you know, he's a talented guy, a guy that normally doesn't get finished, so big win for Jared Cannonier. Carl Robertson, native of Neptune, New Jersey, near my neck of the woods. Shout out to him. Defeated Jack Marshman via unanimous decision. I like this fight. Nice showcase for him. Marshman hung in there. And then we had the style bender, Israel Adesanya, technically knockout, Derek Brunson with some vicious knees and punches in round number 1. Derek Brunson's another guy. Very tough. Not, you know, a world beater or anything, kind of a gatekeeper in the middleweight division, but not a guy that gets finished all the time. So, wow. Kudos to the style bender. He cut a great promo afterwards, did his little dance. I mean, he's definitely a star on the rise. We had a number of crazy fights on the undercard as well, which I did not get a chance to see. I know there were some bloody fights, some really, really bloody fights as well. I think it was Shaman Moraes defeating Julio Arce or Arce via split decision. That was apparently a really freaking bloody fight. I don't have a chance to watch that yet, but get this right. It was a split decision. I'm kind of afraid to watch this fight because look at this. The fight was, the scores were 28-29, 29-28, and 30-26. That's as crazy of a split decision score as you're going to get, I think. So that was crazy. One really notable finish on the undercard, or on the prelim undercard, was Lyman Good, the former Bellator welterweight champion, actually the very first Bellator welterweight champion, knocking out Ben Saunders in round number 1. First fight for him in like over a year. Wyman good, pretty good guy, man. He's somebody that's been under the radar, was riddled with injuries, and I know he dealt with some USADA stuff as well, but he's a sleeper. You might want to look out for him. Still in his early 30s, doing his thing. First Bellator welterweight champion. And fun fact, Ben Askren, who was traded for Demetrius Johnson, was shown in the crowd. He's a former Bellator welterweight champion, undefeated Bellator welterweight champion. He actually defeated Lyman Good to win the Bellator title. I actually covered that fight back in the day. For those that don't know, Ben Askren, former 1FC champion, or one championship champion, I guess one champion, was traded for Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson. So Mighty Mouse Johnson going to be fighting in Asia, all over the continent, while Ben Askren's fighting in the UFC. Kind of seems like an unfair trade to me, but hey, if it's working out for both fighters financially, I'm happy for them. But selfishly, of course, I'm going to miss Mighty Mouse because he's already one of the all-time greats, and I would have loved to have seen a third Cejudo fight, but I guess that's going to have to wait. And who knows? Maybe they did that trade for legal reasons to show, hey, we're not a monopoly. We could trade fighters. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Now, up next on the horizon next month, we got not one, but two big pay-per-views. We have Shevchenko taking on Jan Jacek. We have Max Holloway defending his title against Brian Ortega, which is going to be a great featherweight fight. And then to close out the year, December 29th, we have John Bones Jones, who may or may not screw up again, who probably shouldn't be fighting, but because USADA's corrupt as hell, you know, he's fighting, taking on Alexander Gustafsson in a rematch of their epic matchup. I think it's been, what, almost 6 years since their last fight, which was arguably the greatest light heavyweight match of all time. Looking forward to that. So say what you want about the UFC as far as some of their business decisions, their booking decisions, putting fighters not in the best position to succeed. They're going to be closing out the year strong. But I would love to hear from you as we close out this show. What did you think about UFC 30? What UFC matchup left on the horizon for 2018 are you most looking forward to? Do you think DC versus Lesnar is actually going to happen? Let me know. Leave a comment below. Tweet us, Facebook us. Do what you got to do. If you enjoyed this update, please like, share, take care. Don't forget to subscribe and enable notifications. And until next time, everybody, as always, enjoy the fights.